Let's move on to your playing career. Presumably you first played rugby at school, did you?
Yes.
Where was that?
I went, as with Peter Ford, I went to the Central School, which was a renowned rugby school in those days, and it produced a lot of good players that came afterwards, like Ford and Ibbotson. And we had a very good mentor in Guy Cryer, who was the rugby man there. And I played for the school and was selected then for the Gloucester Boys at the age of 14. And the first game, we went to Leicester, and I managed to score one try, and I got the evening paper and brought it back very proudly. Yes, and then it was announced in the school assembly that Daniel had scored a try. So that was my very first game for Gloucester Boys. Yeah. And we played other sides, so we did the local Lindneys and that sort of thing.
So how old were you then?
14.
Right.
Yeah, 14. And then I started my apprenticeship at Fielding and Platts, the local Atlas engineering company. I was 15 when I started work, and I signed up for the apprenticeship. And then within a year or two, the Atlas Rugby Club started in those war years, and I was brought into the Atlas Rugby Club, and I played with them for a couple of seasons, local rugby. Mm. And at that stage, Mr. Millington was watching me very carefully until my prowess, and I think I got to about 18 or 19, I think it was, and he suggested I went to Gloucester for the trials, and that was when the Gloucester 1945 side was beginning to start again.
So you went into the United side, did you then?
There wasn't a United. They started with just the one side at that stage.
Yeah.
And I played in the trials, and then I got called in to play against Moseley. Was my first game up at Moseley, just prior to Christmas of that year, 1945.
Right. Yeah. And I see on Boxing Day of that year that you scored a try in a very good win for Gloucester by 30-3 against Old Merchant Taylors,
right,
who I think were the normal opponents on Boxing Day.
Yeah, I was very thrilled to be in the game after Boxing Day, yes.
That was your first try for Gloucester, was it?
Yes, yes.
Do you remember it?
Wonderful, wonderful, yes.
Describe it for us.
It came out from the scrum, and I sort of cut through into the opposing centres. You had far more time to cut through in those days, and with a little bit of speed, I just rounded the full back, and that was it. That was the try. Yeah, and you almost walked back a little bit embarrassed because you weren't used to the cheers in the crowds from the local rugby playing. It was quite a thing. Yes,
they played you on the wing as well, didn't
they? Played
in
me
those
on the
early days.
They played me on the wing, first of all, yes.
Yeah. Because of your pace, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I felt that I wasn't seeing enough of the ball, and I preferred to come into centre. You saw more of the ball, because in those days, the Gloucester pack was quite renowned, and the backs didn't see an awful lot of the ball.
Yeah. That's a story we heard from J.V. Smith, who was playing at the same time as you,
played
for Stroud.
Yes,
Gloucester tried to get hold of him on a number of occasions, but he said he didn't come to Gloucester because he thought he'd never see the ball.
Yeah.
Sounds as though you think he was right.
Yes, yeah. So I moved into centre, and I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that position.
Yeah. So how did it feel playing at King's Home?
Wonderful, really. Because I was only 1920, sort of age, and it was quite an achievement, really, to run out at King's Home. And I think my father was absolutely thrilled, who was sitting in the stand, as you could imagine.
Yeah.
So he got a great lot of pleasure out of it, I'm sure. Yes.
Was there anybody in particular in the Gloucester side who sort of took you under their wing as a young player?
Digger. Digger Morris. I can remember going into the dressing room because it was quite daunting because there were several of the very, well, not very, several of the old players that had come in from before the war. And he was the one fellow that came across and wished me all the best or as such, and sort of patted me on the shoulder and calmed you down a bit. And he was a father figure. Father figure.
What advice did he have for you?
Not to lie down too long on the floor and leave it to me, lad. Leave it to me, lad.
He gave that advice to Mike Burton too, I seem to
remember. Yes,
never stay down.
But if you're in, he would come along and sort of, you all right. Not that he would have done very, but he was a mountain figure, really, and the father figure because he played prior to the war.
Yeah.
Of course, then he became captain the next year after Bowden, right. Did he?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And what sort of captain was Harold Boughton in your first season?
Very, very helpful. Very helpful, and sort of positioned you because he was at the back. He was behind you, being in the three-quarter line. If you were, don't let them come through. You position yourself correctly. He was very instructive.
Yeah.
I think he was largely instrumental in getting the side together. And of course, at that time, my great hero Willie Jones, who was the outside half, was stationed at the local RAF station
at Innsworth.
And he came into the Gloucester side.
Yeah.
He was really one of the top outside halves of that time, without a doubt. Mm. And he had a wonderful partner in Danny Evans, who was the scrum half. And they were well, the Welsh pair, but they were very, very good halfbacks.
Mm.
And I moved into the centre. And he liked me alongside him because he would be very fast over the first 10 or 15 yards, and he could take the ball, and then he would just give you a really intelligent pass for you to do some work with. And I owe a lot to Willie Jones. Yes.
He sort of put you into space.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. Yeah.